and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And you suggested that you would see Pet Sematary.
Or Pet Symmetry, if you want to mispronounce it. Or, I mean, it's already misspelled,
or,
you know.
Or Pete Symmetry, if you just want to.
We could do that. These are the very... very unpopular spinoffs. Pet Sematary, it's a mathematical equation, and Pete Sematary is just about a little cartoon boy that's obsessed with death.
Yeah.
Tim Burton's going to be turning it into...
Really?
No,
that's a surprise.
That's not. That's it's
Johnny
not.
Depp it's, will voice it.
Probably.
Yeah. So this is not a reimagining, but based on the Stephen King novel, correct?
Well, honestly...
Already we've got a well.
The three of... The separate properties or whatever you want to call them, the media interpretations of that are kind of disparate. Like all of them feature pets, cemeteries. There's people coming back from the dead. But once you get to basically the third act or somewhere about like midway through it, like to right up there, they start changing a good deal from each other.
Was any member of the Munsters in the current version as Herman was in the 1989 version?
I don't believe any of the Munsters appeared in the novel. Stephen King, although a fan of horror, has not included a lot of...
Monsters.
Now, Monsters, yes.
Munsters. Well, Fred Gwynne was in the 1989. I thought maybe... I was hoping that was more of an Ed McMahon, but sometimes it's Herman Munster.
You can just channel it properly.
Yes, but apparently I'm not.
It was
there
like
yet.
When they were going to cast like Ed Wynn as Conan, and they were just like, "No, we shouldn't do that."
If you'd like to Google the Wynn brothers and how they're related to. Goldie Hawn, by all means, do so.
I felt if we were bringing in Munsters references, I could toss it in an Ed Wynn. Like, when
but
Jane,
not Keenan.
When do I ever have the chance to bring him up in regular conversation? Never. Never is the answer.
So my eldest child was in class and was answering questions correctly, so much so the teacher started asking more pointed questions and more niche area questions.
Just kind of...
Because she knew them all.
Just pegging it in. Yeah, well,
yeah.
Okay.
And, of course, had to deal with the mockery of her friends. Why do you even know that? And you know what her response was? Because my parents are cool.
Be like, so I'm sorry, my parents cared, and they taught me things.
Yeah.
Yours just kind of left you to the wayside like you were a seed they'd covered in hay and just been like, well, I hope a bird doesn't eat it.
I know.
Let's go to Burger King.
You see, what some people forget about parenting, it's not just about keeping the baby alive.
Well, I mean, a lot of it.
Yeah.
A lot of it is.
But once you have that covered, it's your job to properly brainwash your spawn.
Well, I mean, it's like getting a car. Like, do you have to change the oil? Well, no, I guess not. Will it eventually impact the car's ability to do anything?
Yes.
Yes.
And it will never talk to you like Knight Rider if you don't change the oil.
No, William Daniels will not at any point. Michael.
So
I'm about to engage the turbo boost.
I am really proud at the amount of brainwashing because I had to really hold back. I mean, they were like 2 years old and wanted to lay out the Star Trek. And I thought, no, too soon.
Well, I mean, for people that don't do a lot of brainwashing, like it is a little tiring. And I mean, it's a project you've got to commit to.
It's
like having a garden. Like you just, it's not a, like a, just a couple of hours, like little hobby or little like its own little thing. Like you got to put years into that.
I mean, if there was no YouTube, I would have totally owned them musically. But now they discover stuff on their own.
And maybe it's because of my age or the fact that it's not directed toward me. But like I don't see how they get on YouTube. Like, I can get on there and spend, you know, 20, 30 minutes.
Just
like
watching
maybe.
People fall down.
Well, it's, but I find, like, you know, clip shows of this or them collecting this and that. They're just getting these people that are like, I'm going to open a box. And I'm just like, well, I can open a, I can go in my kitchen and open, like, ooh, look, there's some Raisin Bran Crunch. I'll open that. I don't understand, like, a lot of this stuff. Like, if you put, like, music videos, which, again, are kind of outdated just by saying that, collecting things on there in video or wanting to, like, speak to this or that, that makes sense to me. Like, some of the stuff I see on there, I'm just like, well, that's not funny. That person should not be doing this.
That person should not have 5 million followers.
I just don't understand it. And the kids will be like, Dad, look. And I'll look or I'll watch or whatever they're asking me to do.
And you want to poke your eyes out and make your ears bleed, right?
Well, I like doing, you know, the simple solution first and just, you know, take the battery out or turn it off. But in the event that, like, we get down to my, you know, 20th or 30th move on that, sure, I'll take my own eyes.
I guess part of my inability to embrace some YouTubers. Now, some are hilarious and some are very talented, for real.
Well, but I mean, in the same way that you have, like, just, you know, thousands and millions of actors, are there some actors, like, let's say, Ian McKellen? Is Ian McKellen a talented actor?
Yeah.
By all means. Ashton Kutcher, also an actor.
Are you bringing up Pauly Shore?
Is Ashton Kutcher as good an actor as Ian McKellen? No. The answer to that question, for anybody that had to, like, look it up or was quantifying, it was an immediate no. That was the test. And if you if you said, well, then you did not pass. In the same way, there are people on YouTube that have genuine, like, interesting points of view, and I can listen to them. And then there's others that I'm just like, you are vapid and you are unentertaining, and I need to take this spotlight from you.
If only it had existed when we were doing mornings.
You know, I feel like if there had have been that much access to, like, video or anything, I would have also done something embarrassing that I'm just like, oh, that's out there forever now.
Yeah, well, no,
I like that I have the anonymity of the 80s and 90s to kind of protect me, and that it only lives on, like, through, you know, story or just, like, verbal.
Yeah, it's only legend.
Yeah.
Now,
I like that. Video evidence, like, you can't dispute that. Like, I like there being, like, a little bit of a, you know, well, he was 10 feet tall and he struck down 8 men in one blow. Like, there's something fun about the story that's carried on from person to person. Somebody embellishes here. Somebody just makes up something there.
It's beautiful.
But when it's video evidence, it is what it is.
Truth. So, about this movie.
Sure. Pet Sematary.
Pet Sematary. I did not read the book, and I have not seen any of the films, but I'm just going to guess it's about pets who come back to life.
And there is a cemetery in which they're buried.
And there is an English teacher correcting the spelling of the word.
Actually, at no point do I think he does any kind of correction. Like, I think he points it out, but, like, he's not, like, taking a red pen and, you know, deducting 2 points because of the spelling here, but, like, the handwriting, he didn't deduct the full 10 points for. The thing that caught me about this, and this is the problem you run into with, like, remakes or reimaginings, because they seem to be taking up more and more space, you know,
I'm
on television.
I'm annoyed at anything called a reimagining, and I don't actually know why.
Well, whatever verbiage you prefer.
Yes.
Like, I don't mind, but, like, some people are like, well, it's not a remake, it's a reimagining, or it's a retelling. And I'm just like, sure,
I got your use
the verb
right here.
Use the whatever verb or adjective or, like, adverb,
gerund,
whatever noun, like, you want to toss out there, it's fine with me. It ain't gonna bother me. if you already have like a classic, and I'm not implying that the original Pet Sematary was, if you've got a classic, like for years they were talking about, oh, Tom Hanks needs to remake It's a Wonderful Life. He needs to take Jimmy Stewart's role. And like, I mean, this was circulating around forever, and I guess somebody finally put pen to paper as far as like talking to Hanks about it, who really you have to have his consent, you know, to get him to be in the movie. And he was like, why would I do that? He's like, what part of It's a Wonderful Life, what's wrong with it? Like, why am I doing a shot-for-shot remake? Because if I am, why would you do that? You already have the original film.
And then you want to say, and why was Psycho remade?
Shot for shot. Well, and again, like, if you're going to pick a movie, like, get away from, like, Alfred Hitchcock is a brilliant, was a brilliant director. There's not a whole lot you can probably, like, go through any of his films. Like, which of them need to be improved in a spot? Or it's like somebody, instead of doing, like, a sequel to Jurassic World, they were like, we're going to remake Jurassic Park. You have the audacity to say you can take something Steven Spielberg did and you can make it. But that's what you're saying right there. You're saying like, no, I can improve upon that.
See, I think if you're going to remake something, if you can't write it yourself and you're going to remake it, remake a really bad movie.
That's where I was headed with it. Yeah. And I'm not saying that this was a bad film, but like when Eddie Murphy remade The Nutty Professor. I think it was, the original was an entertaining film. Was it a perfect film? No. I don't think anybody ever said that.
I do love me some Fred McMurray, though.
I think I think it was 96, I want to say. The 96 Nutty Professor was the way I think you need to approach a remake. Take a film that like has a good concept. And it's not so beloved that people are going to just loot. Like, if somebody went out tomorrow and said, we're remaking the original 1977 Star Wars, we're going to recast all
that's going to happen. But
I'll be dead or probably senile by then. And so it'll be like I'm watching it for the first time. So I won't get so irascible about it. I'll just be like,
this
seems familiar. That boy, he has a light sword. What's going on? Is that a space wizard?
And you would acquire an accent in your old age?
I assume. Like, I get bonked on the head and I become British or something. I don't know. I assume that that's what happens when you get older. I haven't researched it a lot.
No. But did you see the original film of this? Did you read the book? Or are you just seeing this with fresh eyes?
It has been. I saw the original back in the day. As I recall, I went behind my parents' back. And I want to say, like,
so much
one of my 30 years on, I think it'll be okay. Like, they might make me sit at the kids' table at Thanksgiving or something like that. I had went behind them and I watched the film, but like, it wasn't a film that I continually like felt the need to revisit. Like Terminator 2, when I saw that movie, holy cow, I was just like, wait a minute. Like, I have watched that film countless times since I saw it. Pet Sematary, I think I may have seen twice. And it's been at least 20 years since the most recent time that I viewed it.
Now, having never seen it, is it about dead animals that come to life?
Yes.
Actually don't know.
The impetuous in all, like in the book, the original film, and this one, you have the cat is killed, and
that darn cat?
No, not that. Disney doesn't own this cat just yet.
Okay.
You have a family that has moved into this area recently. The neighbor points out to the new owner after the cat has passed, and like,
whose cat was it? The neighbor's cat?
No, it was the family that had just moved in. The cat had died in the most recent version. The daughter has connected with the neighbor. He's an elderly gentleman, and like he sees noticeably like she doesn't understand death yet. And he's like, listen, there's this area like over here. And he kind of basically just lays it down. It's an ancient Indian burial ground, as I remember, which, by the way, if anybody ever starts a sentence with that, you need to walk away.
Yeah, it's never good.
Just like I've never heard one just being like, it's an ancient Indian burial ground, but darn it, if it doesn't somehow grill hamburgers like nobody's business.
Nope.
Like you smack some Swiss on that mm-hmm. and some mushrooms, and I'm just telling you, somehow or another, this ancient Indian burial ground like marinades the steak in such a way that your taste buds will scream, not in horror, but in delight.
No, and then you'll be possessed and lose your soul.
Well, so, yeah, but in
ancient,
but before
Indian
that, oh my goodness, the succulent mushrooms.
So did they really say ancient Indian burial ground? Because I would have
some
laughed.
At some point, like, well, I mean, that's part of the that whatever does it. Like, you have to bury them a certain way. There's an area mm-hmm. that you do it, and after the cat is buried, and whatever causes it to, you know, either like return its soul or put like a demon soul in, like the things are changed that you bury here.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they come back, they're different, for lack of a better term. The cat is now very ill-tempered, mm-hmm. Scratching at things, just seems like an angry cat. And I don't mean like in a Garfield way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean in a really negative, like the cat's just mean and angry now.
So there's a lot of
just that kind of thing. And like when it's a cat, you know, then, you know, It is what it is. It's a smaller animal. Like, it's not like it's a, you know, a minotaur or like a full grown man or something like that.
So first you name the mythological creature and then you name the real thing.
I'm just saying, like, you've got like, all right, let's say we have a minotaur friend, like whatever.
We would.
And he gets killed. And for some reason, we're like, no, we cannot let John the Minotaur, like, die.
Not
Jane,
John.
Jane, I know of an ancient Indian burial ground.
Done.
If we bury him there in a shallow grave and arrange rocks
uh-huh.
to form his tombstone, he'll come back. And you'll just be like, okay, well, is there anything bad?
That.
And you'll be like, well, he'll have a lust for blood, but John the Minotaur will be alive.
And that's important.
Except for his soul, which will be dead.
All right. So, and then that makes me think, what if you buried a steak there? Would, like, the cow come back? Or would the steak just be part of a cow and it'd be walking around? Or
I think you've got to have, like, enough pieces to... Listen, I don't know exactly how ancient Indian burial grounds work because I stayed away from... I've known for a long time it's a bad idea. Like, I want to say that's... Is it Poltergeist? Isn't that...
Oh, yeah, that's the one.
I'm just saying, like, I can't think of a good instance where people are like, well, ancient Indian burial ground.
By the way, I have a friend from India and he says, not Indians.
Ancient Native American burial ground.
I know, but see,
I'm just going by what the film
yes.
identifies it as.
Okay, so cat comes back, not real happy, and
ill-tempered cat. Yeah, but that's not Stephen Kingy enough. Like just yet, if it was just about an ill-tempered cat, really, Jim Davis could
yes.
have written The Adventures of like Undead Cat, which, by the way, I would totally have read in the Sunday comics.
So I'm assuming the undead cat snowball 2 starts to pillage and whatnot.
Well, no, it just stays pretty ill-tempered. Now,
and that's the whole movie.
That's, now, in the book or in the original film, at this point, if you don't want to hear too much more about what's going There is some stuff that happens that is not necessarily implied within the previews, but if you don't want to hear about that, like, stop listening at this point. In the original novel and the movie, their son is struck by a semi-truck,
mm-hmm.
and the father is overcome with grief. Like, he has lost his child, and the neighbor who had showed him how, like, they had resurrected the cat had just been like, listen, they don't come back. You can't do this.
Then why do you show him how to bring back the nasty cat?
Because John Lithgow, like, just, he wasn't thinking. John Lithgow plays the neighbor in this one.
In full Harry and the Hendersons?
No, but he's also not quite Daddy's Home either. This is like Mountain Man John Lithgow, bearded, but like tries to be helpful. Like he was trying to be helpful, showing him a way to resurrect dead animals like from their graves. The father is grief stricken with this, digs up his in this the most recent version, it's the daughter. Digs up his daughter, buries her there. Like, the mother and the son have went to go stay with family. Like, she's obviously not taking the death of her child very well, and she comes back. But in kind of the same way that, like, the cat came back and was different, the daughter is, she's this very sweet, just like apple of your, you know, your eye kind of thing. And when she returns from the dead, like, she start questioning things like, what happened? She's like, I remember the truck, and then I just remember. And he's like, you're back. You're better. You're good. And he's like, the daughter knows something is wrong. And I don't know if the longer that she is undead or whatever replaced her soul. She starts getting stabby, for lack of a better term.
I can see how being undead would make you stabby.
And when the mother eventually comes back, she rejects this. Like, he did not run this by her. And, like, I have went to the store and picked up, like, the wrong milk, and my wife has given me the what for it. I'm going to go ahead and put this out there. If I was ever going to raise one of our children from the dead, I would at least shoot her a text. Asking, just being like, baby, is it all right if...
I'm a gunner.
Is it all right if I raise one of our kids from the dead? You know, the one we just recently buried. Like, and she'd probably, I'm going to say, shoot me back one real fast, just being like, no, don't do that. The mother is understandably concerned that he has raised their dead daughter from the grave. Like, hasn't even explained it at this point, but like, I think it was one of those situations where it doesn't matter what you said, the explanation is not going to justify what happens. He kind of hears them coming up, and he like kind of gives that, ah, well, crap. She jumps in the door, and she is freaking out. Like, her dead daughter is back, and more or less, she is rejecting this idea. And this daughter, who is, like I said, I'm assuming, also because it's Stephen King, it's some kind of demon that has entered where her soul should be. She doesn't care for the fact that mom isn't happy to see her.
Oh.
And gets stabby-er.
Now, is she like friends with the cat though?
They seem to be getting along as well as, you know, the undead seem to do. I don't want to get into much more of the last little bit because it's actually kind of
funny. No.
Well, it's interesting. And again, like when I'm saying, if you're going to do a remake a film and a reasonably popular film, if you are going to do beat for beat what happened there, especially if like some of it is surprising, like, okay, if I remade The Sixth Sense and I kept the very popular ending to The Sixth Sense, what's the point? Like, part of the selling of that film originally in, what was it, 99, I believe, was the fact that the film was surprising. I don't get that with the remake if I'm doing the exact same twist at the end.
Right.
And this film significantly diverges from the original movie and the book about, I want to say, two-thirds, maybe a little bit more, through this one. So at this point, like, I don't know what's going on. Well, I mean, I know what's going on, but I don't know what's going to happen next. If you're going to remake something, if you're going to like revisit that material, I think this is kind of the way you're supposed to do it. Like a film like The Fellowship of the Ring, don't touch that. A film like Empire Strikes Back, Leave it alone. A film like Pet Sematary, which has a name value. And, mm-hmm. I mean, we live in a world where, like, the top 10, top 20 films of every year are remakes, they're sequels. It's an existing IP. We're, until people stop going to see those en masse, they're going to keep doing them. But if we have to have this instead of original stories, I think this is the way that you should do it. Like, don't feel beholden enough that you have to go beat for beat whatever the original film did or mm-hmm. the book did. Like, it, the premise is interesting enough. Like, that you can get a couple of films worth of stuff, I would say, out of, okay, there's a burial ground that if you place, like, something dead into it, it's going to come back, but it's going to come back different. Like, you can run with that concept. And this isn't going to be a film that I revisit, like, year after year. But it was interesting enough that when I left the theater, I wasn't necessarily disappointed that I had seen it either.
Okay.
And I would like a good original story. Like, a couple weeks ago, I saw Us.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good original story. I wish that we were in a climate that kind of, like, encouraged that, as opposed to constantly remaking whatever was made, you know, 10 years, 20 years, whatever is in vogue at that point. Like, Dumbo was also remade, like, again this week, and I will probably end up seeing that as well. But, like,
Probably. It's your homework, man.
I'm a guessing. Well, I'm just, like, we're also getting, what's coming out? Hellboy is coming out Friday.
What?
Yeah. Hellboy from, like, also was made into a film in 2000. I'm saying, like,
No,
not Ron Perlman and Guillermo del Toro. No, it's not the third film in that planned trilogy. This is a remake of Hellboy.
Who's directing? Is it going to be funny?
Someone who is not. I cannot. I have a tremendous amount of love for Perlman, Guillermo del Toro, and those two films in particular. I cannot imagine. And like I said, I will be happily wrong if I get into this and I'm just like, wow. Holy cow, what have they done with this?
Hellboy is all sorts of funny. As a matter of fact, now that I'm thinking of it, in a way, Hellboy, for me, was a precursor to the comedy in Guardians of the Galaxy and Deadpool. I just didn't expect it to be so funny.
Like, the original film just really, it hits you in a, especially if you're not, like, I was aware of the source material, but I don't think I was ready for as funny as, because mm-hmm. Is it R-rated? I want to say, it's an R-rated movie about, like, this guy that raises a demon from hell. Like, and that premise right there up front doesn't sound like a comic gem.
But it is.
But the film it's outright entertaining, mm-hmm. and it garnered a sequel, Hellboy 2, The Golden Army.
Yeah.
And there was talk for years of bringing it to a conclusion in Hellboy 3, but for whatever reason, I'm assuming because Del Toro is constantly, like, he was supposed to direct The Hobbit. That didn't up happening because it
What's
took so
deal,
long.
Deal, man?
He gets tired of waiting around and waiting around for, because he doesn't think cheap.
Whatever.
When your ideas cost $80 million, like, you can't go in your back room, you know, backyard and shoot that movie. Like, you've got to be like, hey, Universal Studios, I need some scratch. Like, can I have $60 million? And they're like, whoa.
What? Well, anyway, I have not yet shown the girls Hellboy, but I keep suggesting it. It's like, Hellboy, what's that? We don't want that. I said, no, seriously. It's funny. Sure, he's a hell boy, but it's good stuff.
Well, it's Ron Perlman, and he's probably in his, I'm going to say, 40s or 50s when he shoots. So he's not really even a hell boy. He's a hell man.
Yeah.
He's hell man, and I don't mean the mayonnaise. Like, maybe that's why they didn't do that. They'll be like, anyway, this is hell man, and they'll be like the mayo? And they'll be like, no, hell man.
Should,
like,
be product placement everywhere.
And I'd buy some spicy mayo from Hellboy's Hellmans.
Mayonnaise just be mayonnaise, huh?
Well, because
why you gotta spice it?
Because he's a demon. I would assume that they would eat spicy.
Listen,
synergy. I'm trying to give you some corporate synergy.
All right. Anyway, so Pet Sematary is fine.
I don't think it's a classic. If you get to see like a Saturday matinee or something, and you like films that are kind of disturbing or stabby, mm-hmm. I think this is your film. Like, you don't have to run out and see it immediately. But if you're a fan of the book or you're a fan of the original film, I think it's got enough interest, like, for you that it'll warrant the – and it's pretty brisk, too. I want to say it's like an hour and 40 minutes, hour and a half. So it doesn't mm-hmm. overstay its welcome either.
Mm, okay. So there you have it. And it's okay. Really can't add
which
else
is
to
perfect.
It.
It's okay to be an okay film. Like – Warrant your existence.
You are listening to Parental Guidance Suggested from High Atop the Hints and Oakley Podcast Center with Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens. Does a movie have to be more than just okay?
No, I mean, listen, there's a lot of films out there that are not even just okay. Like, go to Rotten Tomatoes and start looking. You can. I'm sure you saw several films like as a teenager that you were drugged to on a Friday night that your friends were like, no, let's watch this. And they're not okay. This film, like I said, it at least warrants its existence. Like, it's not the greatest film ever made.
I thought I'd share just a little bit of what we're doing on Facebook Live, even though it's just going to be you because you can't see me.
You could flip. Can you not do the little – I don't know how the camera works on that there. But
it would be awkward. But anyway, what were we saying?
We were talking about Hellman's Hellboy Manners.
Yes,
is what we were most recently speaking about.
That would be most excellent.
But we had also mentioned Pet Sematary. Like, it's okay. Is it okay to just be okay? Yeah.
I guess.
Like, if you are part of a legacy franchise, like, is it okay? Would it be okay with the amount of money, resources, and time that Disney has spent on Avengers Endgame? Would it be okay if that movie was just okay?
No, it would not be.
I would not be okay with that. Like, I need that film to melt my face off.
Mm-hmm.
And anything less than face melt is not going to be all right.
Okay, I can see that. And that comes out in 2 weeks, yes?
The 26th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting Game of Thrones final season and Avengers Endgame, both within very close proximity to each other.
Do we have a – what am I trying to say? Do we have a Wednesday
pizza.
Or – we have a Wednesday or a Thursday night show of Endgame?
They were going to release the Infinity War in May, and then Robert Downey Jr. just popped up on Twitter one day, and he's like, hey, can me and several thousand of my closest friends see it early, Disney? And they're just like, sure, Robert Downey Jr., you can. I don't know that that's what they're doing, but it wouldn't surprise me if they allowed some preview screenings, kind of a la Shazam, or maybe like a Wednesday opening. Because as I understand it, this film's going to make bank.
Yeah, it is. I read a possible $900 million opening for Endgame.
I don't think $900 million. Oh, you're talking about like worldwide?
Yeah. That was the prediction that
I mean,
I read.
They're saying, calling for like somewhere between, I think, $250 and $280 million in the U.S. So, I mean, you launch this thing globally mm-hmm. at the same time everywhere? That's not impossible.
And that would be the biggest opening of anything ever in the world of film.
Well,
yeah.
Previous to, I think, what Infinity War did. Like, yeah. Like, really, the only thing they have to take down now is themselves. Like, and if it's not that, it's basically their cousin from across. Star Wars, I think Force Awakens still owns, like, the second or third best up. So really, right now, Marvel and Star Wars are just kind of trading back and forth on who can open a film larger.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say getting the sequel to a film that made $2 billion would be significant enough if it could make $1 billion its opening weekend worldwide.
So, interesting. I wonder, 20 years from now, what will be virtually obsolete? I'm watching stuff on your phone.
We'll be doing a podcast about us being upset that they want to install chips into our brain that they can download it. Darrell, just be like, I don't want Apple to have access to my cortex.
Anyway, thank you for listening. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.